This is Olympic champion Scott Hamilton. Yes, the real Scott Hamilton. And you're listening to the other Scott Hamilton show, where you should be entertained, informed, and maybe even amused. Just don't expect any backflips. I mean, have you seen him skate?
You know, there are lots of changes in the upstate. Of course, we talk about Venables leaving. We talk about Tony Elliott leaving. We've got players transferring.
Sure.
Also had a change at athletic director. And that was a big deal, man. Radakovich, $200 million he raised on facilities there. I mean, that's a game changer. But there's a really good side to that. They've got really good stuff.
Right, yeah. Real cool stuff.
Coach Brownell took me on a tour of Little John. I think it was 2 years ago, right after they had done the renovations. And he was strutting like a peacock.
Man. Yeah.
Because
beautiful.
Well, you have to remember they went through this period where they were playing in Greenville. So how hard is it to recruit when you bring in a recruit and you say, "Oh, well, for the first year you're going to take a bus." You know, it's almost like playing football in Miami.
Right. Yeah.
We'll talk about that maybe tomorrow, but things are in good shape up there. But you know what I say, Trent? If you're not growing, if you're standing still, then you're actually falling behind. Mm. And I don't think that's how they're doing business up there, and I don't think that's how our guest wants to do business. Joining us now on the Say Tama Hotline, he's been at Clemson since 2013, but in December he was named the 14th athletic director in school history. Graham Neff, welcome to the Scott Hamilton Show.
Scott Hamilton, great to be here. Really appreciate you having me on, and happy to talk to all your fans and Clemson fans in the Lowcountry.
Well, I want to ask you this, Graham, and I know you've been up there for a long time, and you've got the lay of the land, and you understand the culture. But when you take over the athletic director job, when Dan Radakovich leaves and they hand you the keys, is it a situation like going into the White House? Did he leave you a note in the Resolute desk and it's like, you know, wishing you well and giving you all the access codes and so forth?
He left a stapler and a tape dispenser, so I got that. It's been a really sweet transition, if that's the right word, over the month of December, and obviously with Dan's opportunity in Miami, kind of became focused in early to mid December, and for as close as Dan and I worked together here 9 years at Clemson, you know, he and I were in lockstep for just those opportunities for him, and then ultimately President Clements here, and how that all transpired. But I'd tell you this, or I'd answer it this way: your Resolute desk analogy, which I love, is how it timed over the December time frame. Obviously, holidays, bowl week. Dan didn't officially start in Miami until the 1st of January, January 3rd. And so there was kind of an overlap period here in on campus and in our building where Dan was the incoming AD at Miami, and I was in an interim capacity here while President Clements went through a process. And so I just kept my old office and worked out of there, and Dan was here from time to time. And there was actually a couple ACC athletic director calls where I called in from my old office now as the Clemson acting athletic director, and Dan called in from the corner office here at Clemson as the incoming Miami athletic director. So, just a really unique time, often in athletics, whether that's coaching or administration, in this example, where it's kind of cold turkey. You know, something happens or there's an announcement, and great, you know, immediate transition. So for it to be a little bit of a slow handoff. And for Dan and I, and again, our relationship, for our ability to value that and how it helped me certainly in a transition capacity, was just uncommon and really awesome for us to have that. And now for him to still certainly be in the industry, let alone in the league, he's just a call away and vice versa. So we've certainly stayed in touch and will continue to do so for betterment of Clemson and the ACC.
Yeah, it's kind of like buying a house off somebody and you're wondering, you know, hey, what do I need to do to reset the heat pump? And he calls you and says, oh, well, look behind it. You got to flip the switch and it'll be all good to go. Because it is really unique, Graham. I mean, he stayed in the conference and by all accounts, it seemed to be an amicable transition. You know, Dan went off and did what he wanted to do, he needed to do. And then they elevated you to the top job. I'm wondering this, and please work with me here. Is it fair to say you were groomed for this job? Was this always the plan? At some point over the past 2, 3, 4, 5 years, did you ever have a discussion with Dan, with maybe people above Dan, about you eventually being the athletics director?
I really appreciate the compliment, and some of the words in there I think certainly apply It was not a foregone from a transition standpoint. There was a search process. To your point, though, President Clemens was incredible. Just with his time and focus and attention on athletics, and shoot, you all know him to always offer that. But particularly during a transition time, incredibly supportive of all the moving parts here. But then more to your question and working with you, kind of the look back over the handful of years and even, again, almost 9 years for me here. But whenever there's an internal transition or succession, I guess, it's absolutely a testament to the departing leader, Dan, in this example, just with the success. And you were talking at the top of this segment about the facilities initiatives and fundraising and just programmatic success that he achieved here in 9 years. And so for as closely as Dan and I did work professionally, for me to kind of be in the room where it happened, so to speak, to steal a Hamilton line, and then still even, you know, be part of some of the plannings or the tasks, you know, that there have been moments over the past couple of weeks now officially in the position where it's felt, you know, like old hat. Like I've been here, done that. Maybe I was in the chair next to the chair. Now I've moved one over. But that comfort and experience, specifically here at Clemson, and that access that you're referencing from a grooming or just an experience standpoint, there was certainly, you know, I think strategy for that, certainly from my lens, just to grow and build relationships, albeit at Clemson or otherwise, and for Dan to have me part of that team, and then for ultimately that to work up through President Clemens and our board. It has been a unique ride and experience here, and for ultimately that to come to fruition here with a transition, it's just uncommon. So a lot of my pals in the industry and their, you know, just their platitudes, sure, but just their recognition of how that's a unique opportunity and perhaps a unique way how Clemson goes about the business here for me to experience that.
All right, Graham, he was there 9 years. He, hundreds of millions of dollars in facility upgrades, national championships. No, you don't get credit for the soccer championship that happened under your watch. You don't get credit for that one, dude. But I'm wondering this, Graham, in 9 years, where are we going to see Graham Neff's fingerprints? What is going to be your calling card when it comes to looking back at your first 9 years at Clemson?
Yeah, well-phrased question, although I do. I have a picture or two from the Men's Soccer National Championship that I won't claim it officially on the Wikipedia page or whatever, but I'll claim the memories because that was a special one for sure. Great question. So, the look ahead, what's the vision, what are the tasks at hand? Listen, Scott, as you know, and I know you guys have been talking on your show over this season, let alone today, just on the transitions and changes in college athletics. And that's not isolated to the state of South Carolina or the upstate. That's from an industry-wide standpoint. Obviously, how we compete, everyone jumps to football, and that's true, but from the other 20 of our sports, and how we're positioning our students, student-athletes to have a great experience, our coaches to be supported and equipped and to be able to be competitively excellent. You know, that's part of the charge or on the job description for any administrator, athletic director, or otherwise. And that the variability of that job description has never been more tenuous or more dynamic right now. So name, image, and likeness, of course, transfer portal, of course, how they work, how those perhaps have some simultaneous nature. The NCAA and the reconstitution just this week, a lot of colleagues are gathering in Indianapolis, the NCAA headquarters, and rewriting the NCAA constitution. And then ultimately, you know, we think that that'll filter down to a lot more autonomous and governance control within your conferences, ACC, and then even on a campus. So a lot of those moments and then are coming together here kind of simultaneously. Certainly you have some Supreme Court rulings with the Alston case and educational benefits, which is opportunity for student athletes to continue to garner support and benefits. And so you overlay all that, right? And I know I'm spitting a bit of a word salad at the industry, but the reality of that here and now, and then ultimately how that works itself out over the years and 9 years to come, to frame your question, is just top of the list. And for how that looks at Clemson, and for us to be continually to be competitively excellent and top of the mountain, so to speak, in football, which is really important at Clemson, obviously. And not only just from the point of pride in Clemson football, but what that looks like economically for our athletic department. It's just really important, and it's a very fluid, changing environment right now. So just a lot of focus on national issues, opportunities at Clemson, and how we can be aggressive in pursuing those appropriately, of course, and supporting our coaches and ultimately our student-athletes is a big part of it. So that's the long-winded answer, maybe, Scott, to the vision. Now, at the end of the day, there are, you know, tangible tasks at hand from facility standpoint. We're about to start two new women's lacrosse we've announced, and we've hired a coach, and we have student-athletes here. Women's gymnastics, we've announced we're about to do a coaching search here in the next couple months. We're looking forward to move forward facility plans for them. And as we continue to invest and fundraise towards our women's sports and women's initiatives, it's the 50th anniversary of the Title IX federal legislation, I guess, which is a moment of celebration. And we feel like with the support and task ahead at Clemson from a women's sports and women's initiatives, we have a lot to celebrate and a lot to promote. So that's more of a near-term, maybe tangible piece amongst the long tail and the nine-year element of some of your question.
We're joined by Graham Neff, athletic director at Clemson. You can follow him on Twitter at Graham Neff. And Graham was on the call last week with Jim Phillips, and he's very outspoken, very blunt, that the ACC is not aligned with the position of expanding the college football playoff, at least not at this time. And he went on to explain that he had spoken, I do believe, with about 30 presidents and athletic directors throughout the conference. Two-part question for you. Did he interview you? Did he meet with you? And also, what is your take on college football playoff expansion?
Kamish is, as you said, incredibly energetic and passionate and experienced in the industry, of course. I've got to know Jim really over the last couple years as he came down to the ACC, and I've known him for years before that just with his role at Northwestern and some basketball work. So he's been a friend and mentor for years, but certainly more acutely over the past year plus with his role here. So I have spent a lot of time with him over the year, certainly even over the past month in a different chair. Have had good, call it catch up, just call it candid discussions from that he solicits from all of his members, and Clemson's, you know, certainly an important element for him from a football standpoint, college football playoff. So that's just a little touch on the question with Commissioner Phillips and his lens. As it relates to this CFP and CFP expansion, as you know, Jim Clements, our president, sits on the president's board of the CFP. So last week or week before last, you know, when they had the meetings in Indianapolis around the national championship and votes, or I guess no votes, and just discussions, really, you know, our guy's in the room, our president. And so for that to be and a heavy voice in the room, as you know, Jim, within his wherewithal within athletics, let alone having the tiger paw in his lapel pin. So having Jim sit in that decision-making body and him being the Clemson president certainly allows us not necessarily any more insight than others per se. There's a lot of transparency within the league, but just, you know, that at the table, in the room notion, which is certainly a position of strength for us. Last chapter to the question. Listen, I know our in Commissioner Phillips' time last Friday of just, hey, now's not the right time. You know, I think there's certainly a lot to be said for that. He certainly dialogues within our AD circles and president circles, as he said, just about that. And it honestly comes back to a lot of the things that I had ticked off earlier just from the industry change. So I certainly subscribe to that notion, of course. Coach Sweeney and I have had dialogue on it over the years, let alone the past couple months. And so, you know, and listen, same. There's a lot of change at hand. As you know, Coach Sweeney loves the bowl season and bowl aspects and experience. And so how bowls have changed over the past handful of years in the CFP era, particularly obviously those that aren't in the CFP rotation, you know, that's something that we have to be very diligent on. And none of us like the opt-outs or certainly, you know, the COVID cancellations, which is a different aspect of it. But continuing to promote and support the bowl system and what that means from an experiential standpoint for our kids, I think is important. And so can they, can those coexist and both be grown but maybe done in different ways? You know, I think so, but I don't know that that script's really been written. So I hope that gives some personal perspective to your question, but certainly subscribe to the ACC as far as how we're maybe being a voice of a different timeline, I guess, is the best way to say it. But subscribing to the thought that expansion would be good, but let's have some of these things settle out first.
And Graham, just one more question before we let you go. And you mentioned name, image, likeness, and that's one of the hot topics with regards to college sports. But what a lot of people don't realize, and we discussed it earlier on the program, is that name, image, likeness isn't just for football players. It isn't just for basketball players. It applies to non-revenue sports athletes as well. And for a lot of those athletes, that's important money because, as you well know, the majority of sports aren't fully funded. A lot of athletes aren't on full scholarships. Any extra money they're getting on the side is going to be much needed, very, very appreciated. I'm wondering what you are doing and what you plan to do to shepherd, if not monitor, all of Clemson's athletes with regards to name, image, likeness. What can you do that's innovative to help guide this thing, to help keep it under wraps, and to keep the athletes on the right track?
Yeah, Scott, it's a great take and fully accurate just on the viability of the market for all of our student athletes. And again, I've talked on our women's sports and initiatives here a bit ago, and you're right, nationally, let alone at Clemson, where there's a lot of our women's sports that are successful on the court and off and just have a heavy brand and marketing presence, and our community realizes that and has activated that. Particularly as we contemplate or embark on hiring and then starting our gymnastics program, with what that following is for those student-athletes that will recruit at Clemson and the success that they would have on the national or international stage, and just what that following is from women around our country, you know, there's a lot of market value there. And I know there's examples of gymnasts at other collegiate programs that have been able to really, you know, gather benefit and make a lot of money, quite frankly, from a marketplace standpoint. So excited for us to add other elements and just opportunities for other women to come to Clemson and be a Clemson student, and then ultimately with the platform that we hope to provide them from a competitive standpoint for them to gather dollars. So I think that's all really good and healthy. From my chair, how are we being aggressive and competitively aggressive maybe from the within the NIL landscape? Obviously, we have a state law that's lawful, and it's important that we work within that. I would tell you that Coach Tanner Ray and I have obviously known each other for years and stay tied together on how we're operating within our state boundaries and state laws. Matt Roberts is a good friend down there in Charleston with you, Matt Hogue as well. So those of us from those chairs within our state, it's important that we stay tied together and are working through our state guidelines there, let alone how that works from an NCAA standpoint. The biggest word for us, kind of our calling card on it, is educate, right? And so how we educate our student-athletes on maybe the fiduciary lens, the opportunities of it, how we educate them and do provide them resources to brand build. And you hollered out my Twitter reference and how we look to do that with our social and digital and creative team here for our student-athletes, something that we've prided ourselves on for years. And there's just another gear there right now to make sure that we're equipping and educating our student athletes to do that. And then lastly, you know, how we operate and educate our community and the do's and don'ts. You know, it's always been important to have, you know, booster guidelines and donor education, just because there is a whole lot of support for Clemson athletics and our Clemson student athletes. But we all know that there are guidelines that exist from an NCAA standpoint and more acutely NIL here that we're talking about. So how we're educating our boosters on the rules and regs, so to speak, but then also the opportunity at hand within those guardrails. And so how we have that outreach and connectivity with donors and business owners within the community and within the state is part of our educational prong, I guess you would say. So there's a lot. Again, there's gears there to that we have to continue to go from second to third to fourth gear, whatever analogy, if you're following along. And that's important from my office now, that we have an aggressive strategy to do that for the competitive aspect of Clemson athletics, but then just also the experiential opportunity for our student athletes.
My last question, I'm Graham Neff. I get a nice bump in pay. What do I treat myself with?
Oh, it's funny. So Kristen, my wife Kristen, we have three boys at home. My oldest Grady is 5 and a half, and then we have twin boys that are 2 and a half. So Kristen is she runs the house, and I laughed because having been here 9 years now, there's certainly a lot of orange and purple in my wardrobe, and same with Kristen. As just we've been at games and events and part of the community here. It has surprised me though, Scott, that, gosh, a new job for me, and all of a sudden Kristen's wardrobe, you know, is out of style, and she needs more orange and different type of style. So she's put that to use, I think, appropriately so a bit, but just excited to be settled here in the community and continue to have a path ahead, albeit in a different chair, but so much to do and couldn't be more fired up to do it.
He's the 14th athletic director in Clemson history. You can follow him on Twitter at Graham Neff. Graham, congratulations, man. I mean, that's a big boy job you got. Can't wait to see everything you do with it.
Scott, really appreciate you having me on, and to all of our friends down in the Lowcountry, happy to circle back with you and get on a cadence. But I really enjoyed the time. Best of luck the rest of the show. I'm glad I'm not in your garbage time segment, that we can knock this out and you can keep going on to the rest of your show.
Stick around. We'll get you on there someday.
Talk to you later.
All right, appreciate you. It's Graham Neff, athletic director at Clemson University.